January 27, 2021, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. Walk from Peter show. Happy Tuesday. Started off with Blues to You, Take Two, alternate John Coltrane. Then we had Mellow Diamond. Shit, I forgot the D. I gotta fix that. From the past is Lo-Fi. And you probably could hear some giggling, so you can tell I'm not man alone. I've been enabled through those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention to have with me today Janelle Leppin. Welcome aboard, Janelle.
Hi. Yeah. Thanks so much. That's super cool.
And we have to right away give big thank you to Anthony for making the connect.
Yeah,
people, he was on the show a few months ago, and great, you know, getting to talk about his music journey, and he wrote me an email with a suggest, hey, you should get Janelle on here. So, Janelle, please bring your earliest musical recollection you have.
Earliest musical recollection? Well, the most important one, maybe, would be when my twin sister had a cello between her legs, and I was like, I really like that thing. It's really cool. And she was sawing away at it. And I thought, maybe she's going to quit that. And she did. And then I took it on.
Okay. Now, when I hear twin, she's your age then, right? So,
yep.
So many of the people, especially the experimental music people I've had on the show, are the younger sisters and brothers.
Oh.
That's a trip. I just noticed that, you know, after 20 years of doing the show. And maybe there's nothing to that, but this is the same age. Now, how did she get on an instrument and you didn't at the time?
I had the violin.
And okay, you did.
This thing is really loud and high-pitched, and we were, like, in a trailer at school with, like, 25 of us, and it was pretty awful.
So. Okay. So you it wasn't like music was new to you. Well, let me ask, in the pad you grew up, was there musical instruments?
There was like a guitar that had loose strings in the corner and, you know, kind of pluck around with it. But other than that, you know, I lived in a forest, so you heard a lot of forest sounds and nature, a lot of birds. My family didn't really listen to music a lot, so,
although,
yeah.
I would suggest that nature has its own kind of music in a trippy way.
I would agree with you 100%. Like, John Cage brought that to light in the classical world, and he was right.
You know, I'm in the harbor, right, Pedro? Mm. You're up by, 30, 40 miles north, by the foothills, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I can sit by the water in the waves. I mean, there's a kind of a pattern. Yeah, it's all trippy. It's just, I don't think scored, but. I get into it like it's a kind of a music in a way. So let me ask you, the violin and your sister with the cello at first, was this by way of school?
Yeah, we were born in Virginia, in Vienna, Virginia. So that's like a school county that had money to send kids to, you know, music class if they wanted to. We could take up strings in third grade, which was super cool because,
wow,
you know, we
grade.
Didn't have that. Yeah, and then in fourth grade, you could switch to band, which is what she did. So I, you know, grabbed the cello and she went on to like clarinet and, you know, but I mean.
Well, first you were on the violin. Did you get put on that or was it just a bad choice?
Yeah. No, it was a good choice. It was. It was like a bit torturous, you know, because it's just so shrieky. When you first start, you know, you're just kind of wrangling it and grab it like, you know, a bat or something. So it's cool, though, because now I love music that sounds like that. So.
Okay. It seems like the cello has a lot of violin range, and it's got bass range, too. It's a really wide-range instrument.
Yeah.
Yeah, intense. And then with the fifths thing, you got the drama of the violin going between the strings. That us in the fourth world don't have as much. We're more clustered around each other.
Right.
Yeah, so that's some kind of technical listeners, a little bit. But it's the way, how we got to get all our notes from four strings.
Right.
And the way they do it is they wait for the fifth interval to switch over. And we go a little earlier at the fourth interval. For example, I got the same note on all four strings with A and B.
But they sound different. they're different diameter and they're in a different part of the neck.
Holy.
It's trippy. So I think the instrument, what I'm trying to say is like, it's, even though we came up with a system to try to standardize sounds, they're not all created equal. And that's why I think nature has a say.
Yeah.
Big say I mean,
the quality of sound is different all over the bass.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I hear it. And then on the cello, too. The timbre is totally different.
I was going to say this word timbre because no saxophones in the symphonies.
Right.
Right? Because, their notes are too, whatever. Anyway, let me ask you, the first record you bought with your own money?
Oh, no.
Remember, it's a Watch for Pedro show. There's no hard questions and no wrong answers.
Right. Well, the first record I bought with my own money was probably like Smashing Pumpkins or something, to be honest. I loved those guitar solos, and I loved the album was Siamese Dream, and I loved the drum fills, and, you know, I loved everything about that record, really.
And some people that tell me the first record they bought was a huge mistake, so I'm glad you liked what you got. What about the first gig you saw?
First gig, well, that was Bikini Kill because I really didn't go to shows until high school.
That's a great band. Dose got to play with, got to open up for them in
Alhambra
or Montebello or so. And, they blew me away.
My friend's band was opening for them. He was a band called Unabomber. And we wanted to go support him, but I had no idea what I was in for. It was like my dad dropped us off at George Washington University at the auditorium, and then we walked in, and it was like, I think it was a fundraiser to help like prostitutes that had AIDS, and it was super exciting and enlightening because it's like, wow, there's like so much more than Vienna, Virginia. We also used to go a lot to shows at a place called the Coffa House on U Street in Cordoza. There was a great place that had hardcore shows. We used to go there a lot.
Okay. Bikini Kill, that's a good first gig. Incredible singer. And drummer, too. They're all good. They had a boy, Billy, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah, they had one boy. I think they had one. Now they got back together. They're going to do some gigs again. And I think they're all four ladies now. Because, in fact, I played a song from the new guitar lady Raul gave me about a month ago. So, okay. So your first performances were probably school things, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, a gig's a gig. I'm never going to prorate it or anything like that, right? Whenever you play, you invest in the next time you play. So it's never wasted.
Can I ask you, though,
what about after school? Not graduation, but in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
The garage band, the basement band, the bedroom band. Maybe there's not a lot of demand for cello play. Or did you make one?
Yeah, I mean, that didn't happen until, like, college, to be honest. You know, when I started playing with Anthony, and we were just kind of, we would jam by the fire. I lived in a forest, so I would like start a big bonfire and we would play together and just improvise really. But until before then, you know, I used to improvise a lot by myself. You know, it was like a kind of a way to handle like emotions for me. And I usually hid it because I remember in fourth grade, my teacher asked me, like, okay, play the song that you've been practicing for a solo ensemble festival or whatever. So I played it, you know, solo, and then at some point I forgot what I was doing, and I just started improvising, and then I was like, oh, wait, I'm just going with it. Okay, it sounds beautiful. And then, of course, at the end, she was like, that was terrible, and she told me how awful it was, and I was just like,
it's one of the things about that world, right? They want you to play what's on the page.
Yeah, they really want you to.
I've been with these musicians that are incredible, and you ask them to jam, and you know, they can't do, you know what I mean? It's like trying to recite poetry out of air or something, you know, where, yeah, I can read it, but I'm not going to make it up in the
spot. Yeah, but it's so, like, I remember in that moment when I made that shift, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go with it. And I was like, this is so beautiful. I was literally, like tearing up while I was playing. And then when she came at me, I was like, oh, whatever. I think I got kind of more enthusiastic about it.
Well, like a farmer, if he wants a good crop, he uses a lot of manure. So I say, bring it, Teach.
Yeah.
Which is a great segue because you gave me this music clarity. I think this was a moment of clarity.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That chunk of music started with Janelle Lepp and the ensemble Volcanic Ash and a tune called Clarity, which was done live at the Atlas Theater. What was the ensemble Volcanic Ash?
Well, it's still a band, and it's a band I've been writing for many years, but it's harp, Kim Sater on harp, Anthony Pirog on guitar. Ah. I'm playing cello. There was, at the time, a bassoon player named Amy Frazier, but she's up in New York, so she can't make it anymore. And then there, let's see, what else? I'm, like, blanking at the sight. Brian Settles is playing tenor, and Sarah Hughes is playing alto, and we're going to have Luke Stewart joining this year. I'm super excited about that. I think he just had him, bass player, he just played, yeah. And then... yeah, it's an ensemble that's just like kind of playing chamber music / jazz.
But did you put it together?
Yeah, that's my band.
Okay. I kind of thought so, but I didn't. My pop said, you know, that word wasn't spelled by accident. You know what I'm talking about, right? When you assume you make the ass out of you and me, he thought that was the most magical fucking thing in the world. Anyway, let's tell the other people what we heard. Ryan Cop Dewey Collective from Vietnam with Denial and Caves. This is part A5 of Lagoon Monster Rubber Mask from Bronze Age UFO out of Baltimore. Incredible cassette they just put out. A bunch of parts. And then System 31, 31st part of the Parallel Systems Rambutan project from Eric Hardiman. Along with him this time is Tom Lent, Melanie O'Dub. I slaughter everybody's fucking language. I'm so sorry. And Mike Griffin. Maybe I got that one right. Missing Man, brand new. Two words, people. It ain't my band. It's a song by Ruth Mascella. I wonder if it's Italian. Mascelli. I'm from New Orleans. A very brand new Wake Up Fire. Neural Outage after that fireworks. It's Soya. Slight Reprieve. This is Bombus Prendon. And finally, Mellow Diamond with Stick and Stone. You know, we start with Mellow Diamond. What's Mellow Diamond?
That's the moniker I was using for my solo stuff. And I've just recently been shifting back to, like, Janelle Levine. But, yeah, it was basically a riff on the fact that I play a Mellotron sometimes, like a digital one. and I put that into a diamond delay. So I kind of put those together.
Ah, it's a there's a word for putting together words.
It's like a gearhead thing, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but you have fun with it, and you make it creative. It ain't just shit hoarding gear. I know what you mean about that fetish thing. If I only had the right shit, I could write the perfect song.
Oh, no.
No, people, can you believe that? No. Although Charlie Hayden really liked his 200-year-old bass.
Oh, man.
He came to jam with the Minutemen. He showed it to me. I was like, wow.
Whoa.
There is something about old wood, huh?
Oh, my God, yeah.
56P bass. And you with the cello, right?
Well, your P bass, like, it's old, you said?
It's 1 year older than me. It's 1956.
Oh, nice.
So, and there's something about that wood, even though I like my moon bass, I like my Watt Plower. There's just something about the older, you know, it needs time. So let's get back into time with you and your music journey. So after school, what do you, in school, do you decide I'm going to go to higher education to pursue music?
Well, let's see. I mean, I think, like, I just didn't practice very much when I was in high school, so no one was like, oh, you should definitely do this, you know. I mean, I loved it so much. It was really my life, and it kept me out of trouble, and that was amazing. You know, I knew that for sure it did. But I think, though, in the end, it's like my grandfather was just like, Janelle, you should do this. You should definitely do this. I was like, all right, Grandpa, you're cool, and you're way older than me, so I definitely want, you know.
Was he a music? Was he a musician?
No, but he just loves the arts, you know.
Okay. And he said, you know what? You seem to me that you could be a professional cellist.
Well, I mean, the trick is that, yeah, what do? You go to classical music school, which I kind of, like, hated everything about it, you know, like, just, I mean, I love the music, you know, and I love playing an orchestra, just being, like, in the middle of all those beautiful instruments, like, making vibes all over your body. It's so amazing, but it, you know, the kind of stoicism and, like, you know, if you're late, which at the time, I was late all the time, so I was always getting yelled at, and, like, I was just, like, the worst, you know, weirdo with, like, the nose ring in the front row, you know, like, kind of getting looks from just about everybody. But, you know, I liked that, too, because people thought I was such, you know, whatever they wanted to call me because of my appearance. But then I would tell them I play the cello, and I would, like, lift my head up, you know, high, you know, and I loved that, you know. It's like, I'm just going to be myself, you know, even though I'm in this orchestra. But
So you picked the college path to music.
And looking back,
you think it was a good choice?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I love being able to just, like, you know, have that under my fingers, literally, in my heart. You know, it's all in there. But then also just to, like, throw it away and, like, not think about it and not, you know, have to have the same language. You know, when I'm working with somebody who doesn't have that background, we just don't even go into that world at all. You know, we just stay in the music, stay in the moment, you know.
Okay, but there's different ways to do music, right?
Totally.
Now, when you were in college, did you have that kind of parallel universes going? You had the, you know, you did your school stuff and the orchestra, but did you have some, like, crazy-ass side band? Well, you and Anthony were in the woods.
Yeah, we were still in the woods. That was not taking shape until, like, really I got out of college fully. I was actually touring with someone for a little while, like, because I got a gig, and I was like, cool, I'm going to do this. And I was singing on stage with her, and, like, that was really awesome. But it was also, like, you know, not the best situation. You know, touring can be really hard, especially when you're a young woman. So I just kind of got out of that and finished college, and then Anthony and I got together and basically started our band, Janelle and Anthony. So that was my first band. But I did play with a lot of people in college. Like, it was definitely classical, but then, you know, my heart was definitely elsewhere, you know.
What do you mean by elsewhere? Like, I want to take my cello to other places?
Well, I lived for, you know, the gigs, and I lived for playing with Anthony, you know, and people would be like, hey, will you throw down some cello on this track? Will you, you know, will you, like, hey, jump on stage with me at Black Hats, do this, you know. They were just, like, singer-songwriters or bands or something, and I would do that. But, you know, it didn't really stick until our band.
Right. And you never went back to the violin?
Yeah, I have a violin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I record with it and I play it.
Is it easy to it's the same intervals and it's just smaller, right?
It's smaller.
I think that's why they did that, right? Even the string bass, it made them all basically the same thing with different sizes.
Yeah, I mean, that violin is, you know, it's not as nice as my cello. My cello was given to me by a guy who does acupuncture underneath the Chelsea Hotel back in the day. He gave it to me, and I didn't know why he gave it to me.
You mean New York City, Chelsea Hotel?
Yeah, my cousin
was living. That's where the Stooges wrote the songs for their first album.
Oh, it's such a cool building. Like, I'm so sad. I don't know who bought it.
I saw it a couple years ago. There was a bunch of construction going on around it.
Yeah, it's terrible. They threw out all the artwork. It was just laying on the street.
They were selling the hatches, the doors.
Yeah, they were selling everything they could. But, I mean, I got to stay there for, like, about a month or so and wrote a lot of music in there, met a lot of friends, and took pictures. You know, just, like, weird art.
And the cat just gave you the cello.
He walked into Zebulon in Brooklyn when I was playing with Anthony, and he literally just, like, brought it wrapped in a trash bag during a snowstorm. He's like, I don't know what this guy thinks he's doing, but I love him because
it's happened to me. It's happened to me, Janelle.
Really?
When my bass got stolen with all the Stooges shit, I was playing a gig in San Diego at the Casbah, and I get done, I'm going to the boat, and this guy, he told me his name was Dan. Can I give you this? And it was a 1960 EBO, 1965 EBO.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because he felt bad about me losing my shit. It's just a beautiful thing.
Sweet.
Yeah, people can be very kind.
Absolutely.
Very kind. So I call it the Dan bass. I never saw him again, but what a beautiful man. We're at the end of the first hour, January 27, 2021, edition of Watt Pedro Show. Special guest Janelle Leppin. Hold tight for hour two. July 27, 2021, it's the second hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
Thank you. killed us to King's Cross. For 13 hours on a bus, I pressed my face against the glass and watched the white lines rushing past. And all around me felt like all inside me, and my body left me, and my soul went running. Have you ever seen King's Cross? When the rain is falling soft, I came in on the evening bus from Oxford Street. I cut across, and if the rain don't fall too hard, everything shines just like a postcard. Everything goes on just the same. Fair weather friends are the holiest friends. Keep my mouth well shut, I cry till open go down from St. Kilda Esplanade, where the beach needs reconstruction, where the palm trees have it high. I give you all of Sydney Harbour, all that land and all that water, for that one sweet promenade. I give you all of Sydney Harbour, all that land, that water, for that one sweet promenade.
Watch for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Bacianas Brasileirias, number 5 aria. This is from Hector Villalobos. So it's probably Espanol, huh? Sister Mir is the name of the proj. And aria, right? So it's some opera. And then we had a Backstreet Bingo. I found a 7-inch in the boat someone gave me on tour. And pretty trippy tune. Thank you. Sorry, a little delay. 5 years. No, well, Mr. Wells said, right, no wine before it's time. So it wasn't on purpose, guys. Marissa Nadler after that. This is from you. For my crimes. Maybe not the happiest tune. Or maybe it is. Get the weight off the shoulder. Lucas Abella from Sydney after Mold Jar. That's an image. Paul Kelly with from St. Kilda, the King's Cross. St. Kilda, I think that's Perth, right? Part of St. Perth. The King's Cross somewhere in London, I don't know. Ask Paul Kelly. The Heart Sutra. This was arranged by you, Janelle, and Susan Alcorn. So this is important, you know, because I think a lot of classical musicians aren't really encouraged to compose.
No.
Right? They got to be the cogs. Yep. For the Cogmeister. Actually, can I relate to your experience? I haven't seen a lot of gigs, but at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, Mike Preusner took me to see Pierre Boulez conduct the L.A. Philharmonic. And, man, I mean, 60 people up there or whatever, 50, and very good playing, but it was kind of not together. And you could see him fighting to get their will. And then when they gave in to him, not like a slave or anything, but just, you know, you can man the rudder. God, because Mike got me way down. You know, there was 2 empty seats in the front row, and he bum-rushed because he's balls out, you know. And I went with them, and I didn't know the etiquette, right? I know more about pits. And so, but I went down there, and I could feel it, man. And it was a magical manner. It was a Mr. Bartok piece where they flipped the fucking violins over and started playing the back of the necks with the bows.
Nice.
Tippy tap. Yeah, it was beautiful. There's something about the more modern classics, which is oxymoron, right? But there's something about the cog thing. But like this piece here, you arranged. So how'd you? My point is, how'd you get into this, even though you were being cultivated for another world? Maybe going to hardcore shows, seeing Bikini Kill.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, everyone's talking about, oh, you can do this, you can do this. Like, you asked me, like, 3 times, so is this when you started a band? You know what I mean? It's like, it took me forever because I think I was just, like, I had one foot in one world and the other. And slowly they were really separating so much.
But that's kind of funny because isn't music music?
Yeah, it is. I'm 100% with you on that. I mean, it's like, it's just that the worlds are different.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I understand. Because humans are evolved.
I mean, yes, exactly. I mean, that's only.
You know, nature, she makes her music and it gets on fine. She don't have to label it and shit, right?
Oh my God, no. But I mean, when you asked me about my first musical experience, I thought, yeah. I mean, I want to talk about sitting in my backyard because that's all I did when I was young. We really didn't listen to music. So it's not that I didn't like it. It's not that I just didn't even know about it until I found like a record of my parents. And then I was like Black Sabbath and I was like, all right, it's on, you know. But in terms of.
Well, you know, I was born in Virginia too. And I remember fireflies and crab apples and honeysuckle and. Also, freezing winters, sweaty summers. I'm spoiled here, Pedro. But, you know, I see it on tour and stuff like that. But there is a natural music, a trippy thing. But when, like this arrangement, I mean, how did this come about? Were you asked to do it or did you foist?
Yeah, I was asked to do that by Susan. I'm friends with her. I don't know if you know her, but she's wonderful pedal steel player. I mean, legendary. I mean, I have known that since I first saw her. I was like, okay, she's like, going to be so important. I mean, once people find her, you know, and thank God that's beginning to happen because she's just been toiling and toiling all by herself, like for many years. And now finally, like she's getting major calls and stuff and it's great. But, you know, anyway, we met in Baltimore because we both got asked to play in the High Zero festival. I don't know if you've heard of this experimental festival there. I was like the first DC player to ever be asked to come down there, because Baltimore and D.C. have a weird rivalry of some kind.
I know about that.
That's an evening out, which is nice. It's like, this is a small role, guys. Like, there's no time for this shit. But anyway, we were just like, okay, you're awesome. I want to be best friends. And we really, like, hung out a lot. And so, you know, over the years, we've recorded things. For like Ideal Logic Organ, and we've done things, but I mean, together that wasn't recorded professionally, but then we actually, you know, she had this residency at Issue Project Room. And so she said, Janelle, you know my music more than anyone. I really would love it if you could just arrange this for an ensemble. And with, like, you know, I was living in Seattle at the time. I was working with Randall Dunn a lot. I don't know if you know who that is, but or if you've heard of him, but he's like a producer and mixing engineer who's like really sonically like brilliant, but also just like a beautiful person. And anyway, I was out there kind of working with him on some of his projects he called me in for. And at the time I was all alone. Anthony was on the East Coast, and I was on the West Coast. You know, we were doing the long distance thing, and I was just sitting at a piano all the time, just thinking about pedal steel, because it's real close voicings, the pedal steel. And I had been studying with her off and on the pedal steel to kind of like learn new things. I love to learn new instruments.
Pedal steel has so many fucking possibilities.
Yes.
God, you know what I mean? Nels Klein was hipping me to the shit. It ain't a lap steel, man. It's a whole world. I got to meet Sneaky Pete.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was at Cherokee when I was doing my wrestling record 25 years ago. Look, here's a trippy piece of music you gave me. Some project called Priests.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Show. Started that chunk of music off with Priests doing Ice Cream. And then Thomas DiMuzio, had him on the show a couple weeks ago, incredible cat. What's going on? Mr. Marvin Gaye, Mr. fucking James Jamerson recorded that on his back, right? First take, I think. Man, all his bass guys owe that, man. Tom Rettio after that with the Mesmerized Chair. Was talking with Rick Potts. He was on the show Saturday, and Tom Rettio on Connect. Great cat. And Laughing Man. This is another project you gave me, Janelle. Brilliant Colors. So hip us to Laughing Man and Priest. It's so much different than the other music you gave me.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to all this. It's so cool that you do this show. I don't know what to say. It's super amazing. Priest is a band from D.C. Laughing Man is a band from D.C. And Laughing Man is like Luke Stewart. And also Brandon Moses heads up that band.
Luke Stewart, the bass band.
Yeah, yeah. We've been buds for so long, you know, and they got me involved in that. So Anthony's on there, too. You can hear his guitar solo. But they were fun to play with.
And, what's the difference? They're two different crews, right?
Yeah, Priest is, like, I was playing bass. I was, like, standing in for Taylor Moss.
So you can play bass guitar, you can play piano. You're not just cello and violin.
I can't, man. It actually, you know, to be honest, that classical music stuff kind of fucked me up physically. Like, I really hurt myself in college. Like, the tendonitis and all that. When I bounce from instrument to instrument, it actually really helps me stay creative.
Yeah. I got to tell you, my joints have been in better shape. Cut sugar and salt out of your diet. I haven't used fucking ibuprofen for 3-4 years, and aspirin more than a year. And I've been playing. I record every fucking day, you know, because of the situation and stuff. And, you know, 63 years old. I think a lot of it, I think you have to, as you go through the journey, you have to change. And maybe change, and like you say, change the actual instrument even. But to try to stay with one technique or somebody else giving you an idea, and if it's hurting you, your body's telling you, man, something's wrong.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mean to get all preachy ass and shit.
No, I love it. I'm going to try it.
When I hear about another musician hurting because of the playing, I've been there and stuff, and my heart goes out because
Yeah.
You know, there's other reasons to stop you from playing, like somebody's boot on your throat, but I like to have hurts in your joints. Oh, man.
Yeah, for me, it's the tendons. You know, they
right,
get all
right. No. Joe Biza had two surgeries for that, and they didn't fucking work.
Oh, no.
I'm saying surgery, the last resort, man.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to do that. Yeah. They definitely wanted to. They wanted to, and I was like,
I know, well, because it's kind of business, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Same with medicines and the pills and shit. What'd you say, Janelle?
You know, in college, they actually, you know, they wanted to do that, and I was like, no, no, no. You know, I noticed when I walk around, I feel a lot better. And I was like, wait a minute, maybe, like, movement is going to help me. So I started doing dance. I took Afro-Cuban, I took Modern. All that shit helped me. Like,
Yeah. Same thing with, like, real easy yoga moves for me. Just the idea of being flexible.
Yeah, exactly. Anything was better than just, like, sawing away in practice.
I mean, there's something about practice, Mr. Coltrane could tell us, but there's something about keeping your body limber. We're at the end of the second hour, July 27, 2021 edition, Juan Pedro Show, special guest, Janelle Lapine. Lapine? I get it, people. Hold tight for hour three. July 27, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro Show. Thank you. Watt for Pedro show. Start off third hour. Janelle and Anthony with Venetian Life. Venetian. Not Venice, but from Vienna.
Yeah.
I butcher that language to the German, Italian, everything. Fuck, I'm so sorry, people. That's too
good.
And then we had If Bawana, another Al Margolis, with Living in Harmony, which is the name of a fucking, this record. He named some of the tunes after, you can't copyright a title, people. After some Prisoner episodes. One of the only TV shows Y I ever liked was The Prisoner. One season. Right? Carl 2000 after that with We'll Meet Again. And finally, Janelle and Anthony again with Leaving the Woods. Leaving the Woods, even though it started in the woods, right?
Yep.
Right. What was the first Janelle and Anthony gig?
You know, I can tell you. It was at Sangha, which is a really beautiful spot in Tacoma Park, Maryland.
Oh, okay. And how'd it go?
It was amazing. It was really memorable. And we kept going from there, just chugging right along.
Wow. Okay. So there's something about, yeah, it's not just joke, notes and rhythms. There's something about a persona and even a kind of trippy, or not trippy, a sense of spirit. Yeah. I mean, when you're not like, when you're not Woman Alone doing your music, when you're in an ensemble or even just a duet. Right. So that kind of communication. So I'm interested, when you guys compose, who goes first?
Yeah, that just depends on the idea, you know. But both of us have, you know, let's see, maybe in the beginning we were just bringing ideas to each other. And in the beginning, Anthony was more actively doing that. We have, you know, the first record, which I didn't give you anything from, that one was like our first time playing, right? So, you know, really recording. So that was mainly Anthony bringing ideas to me. And then on the second one, like Leaving Woods, that was the first song I ever wrote. So
wow.
That's why I do that one. And that was exciting because Anthony literally was like, I'm going to Starbucks and I'm going to get a coffee real quick. And he was like, why don't you write a song? If I get back, you haven't written a song, I'm going to be really upset. Because I like could not get myself to do it for some reason. I was just like,
well,
stuck.
I think it was the musical culture you were
totally
in, right? They don't promote that shit.
No, I mean you're right. And so I did it, and I was very proud. And forever after, that was the first song. So, yeah.
Wow.
But we bounce off of each other. It's so free flow, and at this point, we'll compose on the spot. You know, at shows we're improvising, but we're really like writing together because some of them become songs later, and we're just so telepathic. We've been playing for so many years together. You know, it's really special.
Like osmosis, me and D Boone. So do you use something like your Leash voice memo thing to put little melodies?
Oh yeah.
That's part of your composition process. You don't do it on paper, or do you?
I mean, sometimes if it's like tricky mathematically,
yeah.
It's like I have this line up, or you know, I gotta figure out some weird fingering or something. But for the most part, yeah, you just like do it into a voice memo.
Well, you know, Anthony plays with Brandon, right? And very capable with the fucking math rock problem.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Very. Yeah.
So does he challenge you with that kind of thing?
Oh, for sure. I mean,
you know, I tell people John Coltrane never played in 7 or fucking 12. Well, 12's not that bad. That's a kind of weird 3. But like 9 and 5. I mean, and some guys, you could tell they were born, they were taught it. They grew up with it, right? That Balkan stuff. Oh, my God. It's kind of oompa, but it's Turkish.
It's beautiful.
And it really is. But the rhythmic thing, do you find it challenging?
Well, I enjoy that stuff, definitely. It's, you know, you just, like, twist it around in your brain until you get it, right? I mean.
Well, I'm a bass player, so I feel really responsible to get in there with the drummer. So when I get fucking challenged like that, oh, my God. A little drama for what? Because it's like, man, I can't feel it. And they're looking at you like, can't you get this? And then I think of, oh, you know the easiest 5 song? Well, fucking Take 5, right? But also Money, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I want to play Woven This Way.
One, two, Have you been saved? I say I want to. from. Well, I do want to sit on the bus and go past the house I grew up in, but it is a condo. I love nothing. I want nothing. I want nothing. No quid pro quo. This is the final word of the President of the United States, of the sodomized mind, of the United States, of the fragile mind. Callers or mamas, in the middle of the day, I think there is an AR-15 and it is coming my way. Mama, I want to eat the meatloaf. Mama, I want the liver. Let me down. Mama, please tell me one more time. I have been so good. It's sad that it's so easy to order a pizza, and that it's so easy to buy a gun, and that I can be unstable and do either, and one of them is an American right, and one of them is my right to consume, and I don't want either. I don't want the burden of these mistakes. I don't want the metric of what resilience is. Is resilience about bouncing back, or is it as much damage as I can keep on me while I walk? I took boxing once. I don't look like a fighter, but I promise you, I took boxing once. And coach said, damage is not the hurt. Damage is what you do to keep going. And I said, I don't really get it. And he said, well, you get in the ring and you'll find out. Damage is done. The hurt, you keep that out of the ring, baby. You keep it out of the ring, because I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. Just want a long arm to scratch my own back.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
Hey, I'm so long. Thank you.
Bach for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Again, the ensemble Volcanic Ash. Like what we began the show, well, Pert here. This is live too, but it's a different pad. This is at Comet Ping Pong and a tune called Woven This Way. And then we had Derek Montipenny with Peace Be Upon You. And then finally, Oren Ambarchi, Knots, Audience of One. And this is an excerpt. Now, I had him on the show last week, and he played me another form of the Knots. He's an incredible cat. He just moved to Berlin. But I found out that he was suggested by Andrea Belfi, the original Sonia de Marinaio drummer, man. And he's connected with all kinds of musicians. And then I find you are, too. What's the connect with Oren?
Randall Dunn, the guy I was telling you about earlier. Yeah, and he's over in New York now, so I'm really excited. I'm, like, working on a solo album with him right now. So, I mean, before COVID times, and we're about to reconvene, but it's like he was working on a record with him at Avast Studio in Seattle. And, yeah, he just, like, called me in. And he used to call me for all kinds of things, like Sub Pop Records. You know, there's a band called Rose Windows that I played on. It was, like, psychedelic. We had flute and, like, heavy, heavy guitars. We, like, toured. It was so beautiful. It was super fun to play that. You know, and also the string player who is arranging, you know, some of the stuff on that, on Knots, he's also affiliated with Randall, is at Avon King. And he's, like, such an amazing musician. The first guy who got me.
What's he got? He's got his own project called Golden or something? Golden
Moon? Are you talking about?
Is this Evie King?
Yeah, Avon King. Yeah.
Oh, Avon.
Yeah.
Because I've had a guy on the show, EV, but maybe it's short for Evan. Okay.
Oh.
Similar name. Okay, different.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know, the good thing about Alzheimer's is, like, you're always meeting new people. You're always hearing new bands. I shouldn't make a joke. That's a bullshit disease. I hate it. You know, it's up there with cancer. It's a nightmare. But my memory sometimes, forgive me. But okay. So Oren through Randall. Well, that's the thing about music too. You know, this idea of people making connects. You know, like Anthony getting you on the show here, and Anthony actually coming over from I don't know, maybe Evan Lipson or somebody recommended. I've been doing 5 shows a week since November, so I've had over 200 guests.
Wow.
And but it's bitching, you know, a lot of these cats I would have never met.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know what I mean? And so, yeah, there's some people ask me about the old days. They say it was about people. I think the new days are about people, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, in an email to me, you said you and Anthony are moving.
Yeah, we are. We're going to be in Virginia or DMV somewhere, and we're just taking, like, a little residency. So we've been writing, and working, and, you know, got to go back to our music family, obviously.
Right.
I said a year, so that it's, coming up to it.
What's the word? Time's up?
Time's up, baby.
Right. But, you got to get things done and stuff. And
yep.
Right. So you were apologizing for not having the music ready and stuff, but I can understand. Moves are, they're heavy things, but yeah. I'm glad you're that flexible enough and stuff. So your next music plans?
Well, I've got a residency at Rhizome.
Right.
The last Friday of each month from September through December, I'm doing an event with Ensemble Volcanic Ash, which I'm writing new music for.
Oh, great. So maybe a new recordings?
Yeah, you're going to record that stuff, but at the end, we're going to go and work with Randall Dunn at the studio that he wants to work at, and do a live record up to tape. So really excited about that.
Yeah.
And other than that, Anthony and I have, like, a 10th year anniversary double LP. We're, like, basically releasing with Cuneiform Records. But, we're just, like,
kind of. Oh, wow. Yeah, I know that cat, Steven.
Yeah, Steve.
I have some of his bands on the show.
Oh, cool.
He really good people. He put out the Henry Kaiser, had me do it, which I didn't want to do, and Henry talked me into it, but I'm glad I did. I still haven't had the balls to listen to it. John Coltrane's Two Sweets, right? Love Supreme Meditations.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, fuck, man, talk about shit in a pecan log. I'm still glad, but that's so great. I can't wait. Will you both come back on the show when that comes out?
Oh, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Okay, beautiful. Thanks so much, Janelle, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Keep on keeping on, please, you and Anthony. People, it's been July 27, 2021. Just what Pedro, so keep your powder dry.